Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John 10. My text at this preparatory service is John 10, verse 11. We'll read together the first 18 verses. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There ends our reading of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of the Holy Scripture. My text is the 11th verse of the chapter. Jesus' word, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One of the important questions with regard to the death of Jesus Christ is the question, for whom did Jesus die? Who benefit from the death of Jesus Christ? And who are they who are blessed on account of Jesus' death for them? Basically, there are two and only two answers to the question, for whom did Jesus die? Many teach that the death of Jesus Christ was a death for all. That is, a death for every human being. every man, every woman, every child who has ever lived or will live in the history of the world. At the very least, Jesus Christ died to make salvation possible for every human being. The biblical, the reformed answer to the question, for whom did Jesus die, is that Jesus Christ died for some only. He did not die in order to save all men. He died only for the elect. He died only for those who had been given to him by his Father in eternity. He died only for the sheep. That's Jesus' teaching in our text tonight. His death was a limited atonement. His death was a particular redemption. He saved everybody for whom he died, but he died in order to save some only. That Christ died not for all men, but for the elect alone is Jesus' own teaching in our text for tonight. It's Jesus' teaching when he says, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." For the sheep. Not everybody, but only for the sheep. In this passage, the Lord Jesus uses two related figures in order to describe himself and his saving work as the Son of God. Both of these figures are derived from sheep herding, a very common occupation in Jesus' day. First, Jesus describes himself in the passage as the door into the sheepfold, the door of the sheep. And then secondly, he describes himself as the good shepherd. Jesus is the door of the sheep, the door through which the sheep must enter in order to find safety and protection in the sheepfold, the one through whom they must enter in order to enjoy the benefits of the safety of the sheepfold. They must enter through Jesus, who is the door of the sheepfold. He is not one door among many other doors, which even men in Reformed and Presbyterian churches are advocating today. He is the door, the only door into God's sheepfold. This is Jesus' description of himself in verse 7. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Only they who enter through Jesus find safety in the sheepfold. Verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Besides being the door of the sheepfold, Jesus is also the shepherd of the sheep, the great, the good shepherd. This is Jesus' teaching in our text for tonight. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper proclaims that great gospel truth that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. The one and only Good Shepherd. And He is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who does what is necessary to be done for the life and the salvation of His sheep. I call your attention to the text tonight under the theme, The Good Shepherd's Death for His Sheep. Let's notice, first of all, the Good Shepherd's giving of His life. Secondly, let's note that He gives His life only for the sheep. And then finally, the benefit of His giving of His life for the sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because of His intrinsic goodness, His inherent goodness, His personal goodness as the Son of God. He has declared that in the passage. He has declared Himself to be the Shepherd of the sheep. He is distinct, therefore, from every other shepherd. He is the one to whom the porter openeth. He is the one whom the sheep follow, whose voice they recognize, whose will they obey. By me, says Jesus, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus is the one whom the Father knoweth and who knows the Father. Jesus is the one who is united to the Father in an altogether unique way so that He can say about Himself, I and my Father are one. Verse 30. Jesus is the Son of God, very God, one with the Father, essentially sharing in the goodness of the being of the Father, one with the triune God. For this reason, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd not only because of His inherent goodness. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because of the great good that He does for the sheep, for you, and for me. Because of His goodness to us, He is the Good Shepherd. Because that good is the highest good, the greatest possible good, He is the Good Shepherd. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus distinguishes Himself from all other would-be shepherds. He distinguishes Himself from the thieves and from the robbers, first of all. They are the enemies of the sheep. They do not love the sheep. They do not have the good of the sheep in view, but their own good at the expense of the sheep. They come in order to steal the sheep away. They come in order to destroy and to kill the sheep. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus distinguishes himself from the thieves and from the robbers. As the good shepherd, Jesus also distinguishes himself from all of the faithless shepherds of his day and of our day. They are the hirelings to whom Jesus has referred in the passage. Verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hirelings to whom Jesus refers are the leaders of the Jews of his day. He has in mind the scribes and the Pharisees. They were supposed to be the shepherds of the sheep. They were supposed to be those who cared for the sheep. They held the office of shepherd and pastor among God's people, but they did not fulfill that office. Like the thieves and like the robbers, they held their offices not for the good of the sheep, but they held their offices for their own good, their own aggrandizement. They are not good shepherds, but evil shepherds, faithless shepherds. They stand in stark contrast to the great good shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he carries out faithfully the duty of a shepherd. That duty is both to provide for the sheep and to protect the sheep from their enemies. Jesus Christ does both. He does both by giving his life for the sheep. His giving of his life for the sheep is both his provision for them and his protection of them. That's the idea of the text. That makes him the good shepherd. Jesus gave his life on the cross. In the text, Jesus is pointing ahead prophetically to his cross, to Calvary, where he will lay down his life for the sheep. When he says, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, he means giveth his life on Calvary's cross. There on the cross, Jesus functioned as the great good shepherd of his sheep. Because he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who loves and who cares for his sheep. He went to the cross. As the good shepherd, he died the death of the cross. And in his death, there on the cross, he showed himself once and for all to be the good shepherd of his sheep. That's what the cross was. In connection with Jesus' giving of his life on the cross, there are a couple of things that we ought to notice. First of all, His giving of His life brings out His love for His sheep. His love for you and His love for me. There could be no greater evidence of His love for us than this, that He laid down His life for us on the cross. Jesus emphasizes that in the text. He underscores that when He says in the text, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." Giveth. Giveth freely. Giveth voluntarily. Giveth His life because this is His desire. Out of the love that He has for His sheep, He voluntarily stands in their place and lays down His life on their behalf. That underscores His love for the sheep. His life is not merely taken away from Him. He is not forced to die as a common criminal, forced to die as the two thieves who were crucified with Him. On the contrary, willingly, He gave His life. Voluntarily, He laid His life down, as He says in verse 18 of the chapter, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." That He laid it down. That He went to that cross. That He suffered His blessed body to be broken and His blood to be poured out underscores His love for His sheep. Jesus' love for the sheep is emphasized also by the fact that it was His life that He gave for the sheep. His freely giving of His life underscores His love, but also the fact that it was His life that He gave. He did not give silver or gold. He did not give something for His sheep, but He made the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of His own life, the sacrifice of His life for those who were altogether unworthy, who had no claim on that life, no claim on it that Jesus Christ should die for them, should stand in their place, should endure the wrath of God that they deserve. The fact that He gave for them His life underscores His love for His sheep. This is the thing that distinguishes Jesus as the great good shepherd. This is what distinguishes Jesus from the thieves and robbers, from the hirelings. He loves the sheep. In that love, He puts them and not Himself first. In His love, He places His own life on the line for them. In His love. He is willing to die the death that the sheep deserve to die. Oh, this is the great struggle in the life of the Christian. This is the great struggle in the life of every child of God to know with certainty the love of God. This is the struggle of the child of God throughout the course of his earthly life. And this is his struggle in the hour of death, to know, to live and to die in the assurance of the love of Jesus Christ and of God in Christ for us. Then we are able to live happily. Then we are able to die with confidence. People of God, look. Look by faith to the cross of Jesus Christ. Fix your eye on Calvary. See there the Son of God giving his life, laying his life down for you. And be assured, be absolutely assured of his love for you. Clearly, there is an application here to all those who represent the Good Shepherd, to all the under shepherds of the Good Shepherd, an application particularly to office bearers in the church. The application is simply this, that we demonstrate to the people of God the love of Jesus Christ, the great good shepherd. This is the application to every office bearer, that we be willing, in the end, that we do lay down our lives for the sake of the sheep. In the second place, not only does Jesus' giving of his life underscore his love for the sheep, but it also teaches us the vicarious or substitutionary nature of Jesus' death. He laid down his life for the sheep. He giveth his life for the sheep. That means that he died in the place of the sheep. That means that he died as the substitute for the sheep. He did not deserve to die. Not at all. Not whatsoever. They deserved to die. And they would surely have died under the wrath of God, if he had not laid down his life in their place. As their substitute, he stood and laid down, gave his life. That's why the church, and why every believer glories in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why every child of God is determined to live a life of gratitude to God and to Christ for his salvation. exactly because of this, that in our place, as our substitute, He endured what we deserved. That inspires in us love and gratitude to the one who stood in our place. The truth of substitutionary atonement, the truth of vicarious atonement, is not a dogmatic truth that has no application to the life of God's people and the church. That's the farthest from the truth. For the fact of the matter is that all our life as God's people, all our life as a church of Jesus Christ, is our response to this, that He stood in our place, that He was our substitute. But for whom? For whom did He die? For whom did He give His life? Who are the sheep of the text? Jesus died for certain definite individuals. Jesus died, according to the teaching of the text, for particular persons. The atonement of the cross of Jesus Christ was a limited atonement. The redemption of that cross was a particular redemption. He did not die for an indefinite group of sinners, for sinners generally, but for no particular sinners. No, He died for the sheep. That's definite. That's particular. Jesus gave His life for every human being who belongs to the category of sheep. Only for the sheep did Jesus lay down His life. Jesus did not lay down His life for all men. Sheep does not describe, does not include all men. It doesn't. Clearly, Jesus' teaching in the text is that He did not die for all men. The context bears that out. In verse 8, He speaks of the thieves and robbers. He did not die for the thieves and for the robbers. In the first part of verse 12, He speaks of hirelings. And in the end of that same verse, of wolves. Jesus did not lay down His life for wolves and for hirelings. And in verse 26 of the chapter, Jesus will say to some in His audience, "Ye are not of My sheep." Since He has said that He lays down His life for the sheep, He teaches clearly that their not being of the number of His sheep means that He did not lay down His life for them. The atonement of the cross of Jesus, according to His own teaching, is a limited atonement. To be one of Jesus' sheep is to be included in the number of God's elect. That's what being a sheep of Jesus is. And that's why a man or a woman is included in the number of Jesus' sheep. They are elect by God. God's eternal electing grace determines who the sheep are. So that when Jesus says that He lays down His life for the sheep, His teaching is this, that he lays down his life only for the elect of God, for no one else. And that's consistent with the figure here. Think about it. The figure of a sheep and a shepherd. What explains it that a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd? Is that due to the will and the activity of the sheep? Children, do sheep choose who will be their shepherd? Of course not. That's ridiculous. That a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd is due to the will and to the activity of the shepherd. The shepherd has made a decision with respect to that sheep, and the shepherd has done what is necessary to be done to make that sheep one of his sheep. He's chosen that sheep. He's purchased that sheep. He's made that particular sheep his property. As it is naturally, so it is spiritually. God has chosen the sheep. The sheep are his sheep because of his election of them, his choice of them. Not only does Jesus limit his death by teaching that he gives his life only for the sheep, but he also limits his death by his teaching that the saving benefit of his death comes to all for whom he dies. Jesus' death actually avails to save everybody for whom he died. His death wasn't only a limited atonement, it was a limited atonement. His death was not only a particular redemption, it was a particular redemption. He did actually atone and did actually redeem all those for whom he died. His death was not laid down in vain. His death paid in full the debt that they owed. His death fully satisfied God's righteousness over the guilt of all the sins of all for whom he died. For he gave his life for the sheep. Not only does that teach limited atonement, but that teaches efficacious atonement. He gave his life for the sheep, for the benefit of the sheep, for the life of the sheep. His death is of real benefit to all the sheep for whom he laid down his life. They are all saved by the work of the great good shepherd. Jesus teaches that clearly in the text. He says in the text, in verse 10, he says that through him the sheep have life and have it more abundantly. And in verse 28, he teaches that all those for whom he dies, without exception, have eternal life. It ought to be plain that those who teach that Jesus Christ died for every human being, for all men in the sense of every man, woman, and child, deny the efficacy of his death. For although he died for them all, there is a place called hell. There are people who end up in hell. So that there are those for whom Jesus died, for whom his death does not avail, who are not saved by his death, who do not enjoy life everlasting, but notwithstanding his death for them, they die eternally in hell. That stands in flat contradiction to Jesus' teaching in the text. That is a denial, a blasphemous denial of Jesus' teaching here about himself, that he is the good shepherd. Everyone for whom Jesus gives his life, by that life, are saved. Giving his life for the sheep. Jesus' death is of profit, of benefit to them. That's indicated by Jesus' striking word in the text. Jesus' language here is significant. Striking because he indicates in the text the ongoing benefit of his death. Significantly, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's striking. Jesus did not say, shall give, is going to give, but he says, giveth. That's ongoing. That's progressive. That's continual. Now certainly, there was a time when Jesus gave his life. From our standpoint, that's in the past. That took place at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. There's no repetition of the cross, Rome notwithstanding. Nevertheless, what Jesus teaches by what he says in the text is that that death of his at a certain moment in time avails everlastingly. He giveth his life, continues to give, inasmuch as the benefits, the effects, the blessings of that death continue for us in the present. What is that benefit of the death of Christ? What is that benefit of the giving of his life for the sheep? The benefit is, first of all, deliverance from death. That's what we deserve. Death under the wrath of God. Death as God's curse. That's what surely will happen apart from Jesus Christ. But because he died for us in our place, we are delivered from that death. Delivering us from death, the benefit of Jesus giving of his life is that we enjoy abundant life, life everlasting, eternal life, life with him, the great good shepherd, life in his favor, life in fellowship with him in heaven into all eternity, our sins having been paid for. That life is nourished and preserved under the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. By the sacrament, the great good shepherd feeds, continues to feed his sheep. By the sacrament, he protects his sheep. By the sacrament, he enriches the life of his sheep. By the sacrament, he reminds the sheep and reassures the sheep of his love for them, His unfailing love for them, the same love that moved him to lay down his life for them. By the sacrament, by the preaching of the word, joined to the sacrament, the sheep hear the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the great good shepherd. In hearing that voice, they respond. They obey his word. They keep his commandments. They follow after him. No one else will they follow. No other voice will they obey. Only his voice, the voice of the good shepherd, because only the good shepherd has laid down his life for them. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for the love of our Savior, for his great work on our behalf. We thank thee that he has laid down his life for sinners such as we are. We thank thee that we benefit now and eternally from his giving of his life for us. Dismiss us with thy favor. Gather us again next Sunday around the table of our Lord so that we may eat and we may drink to the strengthening of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.